KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
They're mostly clear skies, sunshine making its way out here at the KJAN studios, and 49 degrees your temperature. Look for a high of 77 here today in Atlantic under sunny skies. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with KJAN News. News is brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. Two suspects were arrested on drug charges in Red Oak on Monday after completion of a narcotics investigation. At 9:41 p.m. Monday, officers arrested 23-year-old Jessica Renee Graham of Essex and 30-year-old Montana Wayne Krupa of Omaha, Nebraska, at the intersection of North Broad and East Washington Streets in Red Oak. Graham was charged with two counts of conspiracy to deliver controlled substance marijuana and operating while intoxicated, drugged first offense. Krupa was charged with two counts of delivery of controlled substance marijuana and possession of drug paraphernalia. Both suspects are being held at the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center on $5,000 cash bond. KJAN News Time is 8:01.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Trane dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In other news this morning, with city elections set to take place on November 3rd, Cass County Auditor Dale Sunderman is reminding the public that nomination petitions for a city office must now be filed with the county auditor and not with city clerks. The first day to file papers was yesterday, with the final day to file being September 17th. The process for filing nomination petitions includes obtaining an original nomination petition and candidate's guide from the county auditor, city clerk, or online from the Iowa Secretary of State. You must also obtain the nomination signatures required. The candidate's guide lists the number of signatures required. In Cass County, the number of signatures needed is 10 for all positions, except for the Atlantic At-Large Council position, for which a minimum of 16 signatures are required. A person may sign nomination petitions for more than one candidate for the same office. You must also attach a notarized affidavit acknowledging the candidate's eligibility and file that petition with the county auditor prior to 5 p.m. on September 17th, that final day to file. Each candidate who successfully files a completed nomination petition is assured a place on the ballot. Seven candidates are running for three open spots on the Atlantic School Board, and the public will be given the opportunity to hear from them tonight. A candidate forum is set for 7 o'clock this evening at the Atlantic High School Auditorium. The seven candidates are Doug Bierbaum, Allison Bruckner, Bob Drogo, Mark Fagan, Dennis Schwanke, Dr. Keith Swanton, and Jenny Williams. The public will have the opportunity to ask questions at that forum. A 23-month-old child has survived a fall from a third-story apartment window in Des Moines. Police, fire, and medical personnel were dispatched a little before 1:30 p.m. on Monday to check on reports that a child had fallen. Des Moines Police Sergeant Mark Miller says the child apparently popped out the window screen before crawling or tumbling out. The Des Moines Register reports that sod and wood chips are on the ground below the apartment complex windows. The child was taken to a hospital for treatment. Child's name hasn't been released, and Miller says it's unclear whether the child's parents or caregivers will face any charges. A utilities board that will soon decide whether to allow a private company to build an oil pipeline in Iowa says it has received roughly 3,700 objections on the project. The Iowa Utilities Board says in a report filed Friday that statements against the proposed pipeline were received between November and July. The board also received about 560 letters of support for the pipeline. The report says the objections include more than 2,600 statements submitted in July by several groups. Many objections focused on whether the board should allow Dakota Access LLC to access private land for the pipeline. The report says letters of support focused on potential jobs generated from the pipeline's construction. The board is expected to rule on the pipeline's future before the end of the year. Iowa authorities say a 40-year-old inmate has failed to return to a work release facility in Ames after an authorized 5-hour furlough. According to the Iowa Department of Corrections, Maurice Lamont Turner did not return to the Ames Kurt Forbes work release facility on Monday. Officials say he had been placed on escape status. Officials describe him as a 5'7" African-American with tattoos on his upper arms, chest, face, and forearms. Officials say he weighs 211 pounds. Turner is serving 5 years for third offense domestic abuse assault and second-degree theft. Governor Terry Branstad will be in Denison today to meet with local officials over the closing of that city's Tyson Foods plant. Tyson announced on August 14th it would shut down the plant.
And obviously this is 400 jobs being lost, and we're concerned about that. But there's also a possibility of another plant, a bacon plant, I understand, that is considering Denison that could bring a couple hundred jobs. So that's we're going to talk about that.
Branstad says there will also be discussions about how to help the workers displaced by the plant closing.
The workforce development will be there with me, and we'll be meeting with the local economic development people to look at the total strategy of trying to help the people displaced and also trying to replace those jobs as quickly as possible.
And the plant has a long history in Denison, opening back in 1961. Branstad made his comments during a news conference on Monday in Sioux City. A record number of people attended the 2015 Iowa State Fair, which ended on Sunday. Mindy Williamson is a spokesperson for the fair.
We had 1,117,398 estimated attendance for our 11 days of the 2015 fair.
That broke the previous record from 2008.
Our previous record was set at 1,109,150 people who attended the 2008 fair. So we're considerably higher.
Back in April, Governor Terry Branstad signed a bill into law which mandates schools start classes no earlier than August 23rd.
The fact that schools started after the state fair, I think, definitely played a factor. If you looked across the fairgrounds, there were a lot of families that were enjoying weekdays, not just the weekends.
In addition, more students participated in FFA and 4-H activities at this year's fair, according to Williamson. She also gives credit to popular grandstand acts and good weather.
Mother Nature cooperated pretty well this year. We did have some rain showers on Tuesday, and then we had a good shower on Thursday night as well. Our attendance on Tuesday was 75,000, but our weekends definitely made up for that.
The fair had 7 days with more than 100,000 people. There were only 2 days with at least 100,000 people during last year's fair. The 2016 Iowa State Fair is scheduled for August 11th through the 21st. And the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce announced on Monday that it is partnering with the Atlantic High School to start a Silver Cord program in Atlantic. The Silver Cord program is a graduation incentive program that promotes volunteerism in the Atlantic area. Under the program guidelines, Atlantic High School seniors who volunteer a minimum of 200 hours throughout their high school career will graduate with a Silver Cord and be eligible for a $500 scholarship provided by the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce. Atlantic Chamber Director Wita Weimer said they are excited to partner with so many great organizations to get the program started. Our goal is to educate as many volunteer-based organizations as we can so the program can be a huge success. The Atlantic Chamber will introduce the program at an educational meeting on Wednesday, August 26th at noon, at the Rock Island Depot at 102 Chestnut Street. The meeting is meant to introduce the program to civic organizations and answer questions about the program. The meeting is open to any civic organization in the area, and organizers are requesting groups to RSVP to the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce at 712-243-3017 or chamber@atlanticiowa.com. We'll have a look at funeral announcements coming up next.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a train, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing, Heating, and Fontenelle, your area train dealer. Do you know the true train difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new train home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In your funeral announcements this morning, Dale Robert Plain, age 94, of Knoxville, died Thursday at Pella Regional Health Care Center. Services for Dale Plain will be held today at 10 a.m. at Peace United Church of Christ in Walnut. Pauly Jones Funeral Home Harlan has arrangements. Virginia Pauline Williams, age 94, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. Memorial services for Virginia Williams will be held today, 10 a.m. in the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Christina Marie Ward Turnbull, age 56, of Red Oak, died Saturday at Hospice with Heart in Glenwood. Memorial services for Christina Ward Turnbull will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Faith Community Church in Red Oak. The Sellergren Lindell DeMars Funeral Home, Red Oak, has arrangements. Shirley Sevier, age 74, of Maxburg, died Friday at her residence. Funeral services for Shirley Sevier will be held on Tuesday at 1 p.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield here today. Dwayne Boblett, age 60, of Coon Rapids, died Saturday at his home. Funeral services for Dwayne Boblett will be held on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. at the First Christian Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home Coon Rapids has the arrangements. Max D. Ullman, age 86, of Adair, died Saturday at the New Homestead and Guthrie Center. Services for Max Ullman will be held on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home Adair has arrangements. Dorothy Norgard, age 91, of Elkhorn, died Friday at St. Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Funeral services for Dorothy Norgard will be held Wednesday at 11 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home Harlan has arrangements. Mary Ann Shima, age 78, of Audubon, died Saturday at Audubon County Memorial Hospital in Audubon. Mass of Christian burial for Mary Ann Shima will be held Thursday at 10:30 a.m. at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home Audubon has arrangements. Lyle Burkowski, age 67, of Manning, died Sunday at Manning Regional Health Care Center. Funeral services for Lyle Burkowski will be held Friday at 10:30 a.m. at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home Manning has arrangements. John Van Vliet, age 67, of Orient, died Sunday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. A tribute service for John Van Vliet will be held Friday at 4 p.m. at the Orient United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home Greenfield has arrangements. Helen I. McNabb, age 104, of Granger, formerly of Shelby, died Tuesday in Granger. A memorial service for Helen McNabb will be held Saturday at 1:30 p.m. at the Shelby United Methodist Church. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home Harlan has arrangements. Judy Bentley, age 70, of Oakland, died Saturday. Services for Judy Bentley are pending at Reagan Veith Funeral Home in Oakland. And Corrine Kretzinger, age 88, of Coon Rapids, died Monday at the Thomas Rest Haven in Coon Rapids. Services for Corrine Kretzinger are currently pending with OD Funeral Home in Coon Rapids. That's a look at your latest news and funeral announcements this hour, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.